All right, praise God. Well, there's extra donuts, so that I got permission to preach until 12:30. So, no. Nobody cried. No, we did have a blessed time up there. And honestly, I didn't tell you guys this, but the guys told me, they're like, Pastor, do you know that you snore? I was like, yes, I do snore. And one of the brothers says, but actually it was a good thing. He says, because I was having a hard time. I was, you know, when you're not in your own kind of home and in your own bed, sometimes you don't see a while. He says, so Pastor, I noticed as soon as, like, literally you put your head fell on the pillow and you fell asleep. And then immediately you started snoring. And he says, so I just started counting your snores. And he would say, one snore, two snore. And he says, by the time I got to 10, I was asleep myself. So it was like counting sheep. I said, all right, praise God. So... But, you know, we did have a blessed time up there. And, yeah, let's just keep praying for the men. Really was just an amazing time. All right, let's dive into the Word. We're on week 3 of the sermon series. And every week we've been learning something new about Jesus Christ. The series is called From the Ashes, Embracing the Full Life of God. And in the first week, you guys remember, we learned we're learning a new character quality about Jesus Christ, leading all the way up until Easter. If you guys remember, in the first week, we learned how Jesus dealt with temptation. When Jesus went out into the wilderness to be tempted after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Then last week, we learned about what it's like to be humble and how we're called to live a life of humility as followers of Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to be diving into the scriptures and learning more about what does it mean for us to be in prayer and contemplation. Prayer and contemplation. Now, you guys already know, when you guys hear the word prayer, you guys probably are familiar with that, but you guys know what it means to contemplate? What do you guys do, right? It means to, I took the different definitions of it, but I took the BibleHub.com contemplation, definition of contemplation. It says, excuse me, to contemplate is to engage in deep, reflective thought or to consider something with careful attention. In biblical context, contemplation often involves meditating on God's Word, on His nature, and His works. It's a spiritual discipline that encourages believers to focus their minds and hearts on God's divine truths. Amen? Now, oftentimes, I don't know if you guys know this, but the enemy will try to distract us, right? How many of you guys, even this year, when you started off this year, you're like, I'm going to do my reading plan, I'm going to get up early, and then before you know it, your plan starts to derail. Does it happen to anybody? Yeah, it does, right? And the enemy obviously is very wise and smart. He's going to use different tactics to try to distract you from going to grow closer with God, right? Because if you're connected to God and if you're learning, if you're spending that time with Him, guess what's going to happen? You're going to grow more like God. I don't know what that's just how it is, and so. The enemy is very wise in how he tries to disrupt our quiet time and meditation time. Amen? Now, what we're going to find out, and we're going to go back into the Word, is one of the things that we see Jesus doing time and time again, is that Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer and meditation. And so that's what we're going to be learning today. So, before we go on, I'm going to do something really quick. I want you guys to all take your phones out. Okay, everybody take your phone. Now, don't check your text messages. Don't go on your Instagram. I want you guys to set a timer for 60 seconds. And I want you guys to go ahead and set it for 60 seconds. You guys got it? Now I want you to close your eyes. No, here, actually I want you guys to stand up. So go ahead and stand up as well. Don't start it yet. For 60 seconds. You guys got it? Okay, those of you who can stand, that's fine. Okay, now when you get there, I want you to close your eyes. Now have your hand ready to where the start button is, okay? Everybody got that so far? Now, what I want you to do is, I want you to close your eyes. Now, don't do it just yet. Let me wait till the instructions, then I'll tell you. And then you're going to hit the button. Now, don't count. Don't be like, I'm going to count. I want you to sit down after you think a minute has passed. Okay, does that make sense? So close your eyes. Press the button. And then when you Think that a minute has passed, sit down. All right, there you go. A lot of alarms went off, okay? Good, good. Now, some of you guys sat down kind of early. I was watching. Some of you guys stayed standing. The reason why we did that little exercise is, isn't it, and the reason why I made sure that everybody's eyes were closed and that we were quiet, did it feel like the minute was longer than a minute? It does, huh? It felt like you were there probably like 2 minutes or longer. Listen, the device that you had in your hand oftentimes, right, can be this crazy, crazy, crazy distraction, right? And the whole point of that is just to say, just to be still and to be quiet for 1 minute is a challenge, yes? Because if part of you feels awkward, he's like, are we going to open my eyes? Like, somebody going to pull my chair out? I'm going to fall down. You get all these different things, right? What starts to pop into your head when you keep quiet for 1 minute? A lot of different things start to pop in your head. Somebody said in the back, what? Your to-do list. Yes. What else did you guys start thinking about? Your life? Yeah. Taxes? Yeah. That's a good one. I mean, it's not a good one, but what else? What else did people start thinking about? Sleep? Someone's already starting to snore. Listen, isn't it interesting? Just 1 minute, right? When God says, be still, right? Be quiet, that all kinds of stuff starts coming to your head. Right? That's the challenge. Here's the other thing is that, you know, when you're forced to wait, wherever you go, like to the doctor's office, or you go to people, you can't even go to the DMV anymore. But used to be able to go to the DMV. You see a lot of people on their what? On their phone. You don't see a lot of people just sitting and just kind of watching. Some people will talk, and you talk to people, they think you're like strange. Has that happened to you? They're like, why are you talking to me? Like, I don't even know you. Does that happen to you? It does, right? It's foreign now. It's so foreign because we're constantly bombarded with distractions. Your phone is a distraction. You're constantly thinking about what to do. Your taxes. Life, right? Your to-do list. And so this is why we have to be very intentional. Listen, to have a mature life, to continue to grow with Jesus Christ, it's not going to happen by accident. In fact, we're going to learn from Jesus Christ and what he did as he was approaching, as in his time in ministry. And so we're going to learn, I would say, listen, if we're going to learn from somebody, you better learn from Jesus. Amen? All right, so let's get into the Word. And I know I don't have as much time, so I'm going to go through some of these quickly. But we're going to be reading out of Mark chapter 1. And we're going to read four verses there, verses 35 through 39. Mark 1, 35 to 39. And verse 35, if your Bible's there, if not, you can follow along on the screen. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. But Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages where I can preach there also. For that is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. Amen. So the first thing that we're going to see as we learn about this quality of Jesus' time in prayer and contemplation or meditation is number one, that prayer requires us to withdraw and spend time alone with God. Prayer requires us to withdraw and spend time alone with God. (Clears throat) Listen, this is such a key thing that you see Jesus time and time again doing. Jesus is part of the Godhead. He's part of the Trinity. Do you guys know that? And he thinks it's important for him to take time away to go pray to the Father. Now, if Jesus does it, do you think it's important to you? Yes, it is, right? It's a key part of our walk. And so, notice the things that are happening at this time. This is, I don't know if you guys know this, but it's Mark chapter 1. What has just happened? All right, Jesus is just kicking off his ministry. He's now in Galilee. He's casting out demons. Crowds are starting to form. People are bringing people to him so he could cast out demons and heal them. In fact, you see that in verse 38. Actually, sorry, 36. It says, Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." Right? Doesn't it ever, do you ever have people come to you like that? "Everyone's looking for you. Where have you been? Oh my gosh. The house is on fire." Like, work, you know, we show up to work and it's like, right? Did that ever happen to you? You come home and it's like, is that, yeah? It happens to Jesus. It happens to us, right? It feels like sometimes you're being pulled in all kinds of different ways. There's not enough time in the day. There's only one of you. You need to like clone yourself, right? To get all the things that we have done. So what you're seeing in that, in this chapter, in this passage, is that there is a what? A natural tension. Even in Jesus' time, there was tension. Now, guess what? He was preaching. He was doing God's work. And he probably was tempted, maybe, to sleep an extra hour. I don't know. You guys think? It doesn't say that. Adriana says, yes, amen. She's not a morning person. I already knew that. I was going to call you out, but you called yourself out. Yes. But he had to make a decision, right? Jesus had to make a decision. What was more important at the time? It was more important for him to be communicating with the Father, to spend quiet time alone, than it was for him to maybe get that extra rest that he might need. Because he was, listen, unlike us, Jesus had to walk everywhere. You know? How many of you guys remember what it's like to actually walk around? Yeah, some of us, right? Two of us. Man, the young people nowadays, they have it made. They don't know what it's like. I mean, literally, I would have people drop me off anywhere in Reedley so I would go meet my wife, my girlfriend at the time. And I would walk like 2 miles to go see her, you know? It's a true story. She knows it. Right? And true story. You grew up in a house that only had one phone. Remember those days? And your brother or your sister was on the phone with their girlfriend. Oh, it's going to be like an hour. Right? So I used to go to the liquor store with my dimes, all kinds of dimes. Going to the liquor store on 4th Street and Park Boulevard to go call my girlfriend, my wife. See? It was worth it. I had to walk like 3 blocks and people were like standing there putting my dimes in there. People don't know that. You guys, young kids, you guys have it easy. But Jesus had to walk everywhere. So his physical demands, right, were greater than ours. Like, we quite honestly, that's the point I'm trying to make. He could have rested, but he made a decision that it was more important for him to be with the Father. It was more important for him to communication with God. In fact, if we continue on, if we read this next passage of Scripture, it's actually in Luke. And if you guys are there, if not, just follow along, because I know we're short on time. But Luke chapter 5, verse 15 says, "Yet the news spread about him all the more. And so crowds of people came to him to be healed of their sickness." And hear what it says in verse 16. It says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, and he prayed." Listen, not many of us, I'm just going to say it. None of us is in the ministry of healing people. People are not bringing hundreds and thousands of people to us. Yes or no? We're busy. We weren't busy like Jesus. Amen? And he had time to go off into a lonely and quiet place to pray. It's important. Listen, in this faith walk, you are not going to make it if you're not connected to the Father. In any relationship, you're not going to make it if you're not connected and your communication is not solid. Yes? You heard me say this before. I can't tell my wife, maybe I'll just talk to you on Sundays. Maybe we'll talk for like 30 seconds before we eat. Maybe, right? we'll talk on Monday nights, which is when we do our Bible study. How do you think that my relationship would go with my wife if that was how I treated it? Does that make sense? Man, I'd be getting hit with a frying pan. Psh, psh, ding, ding. No, she wouldn't do it. Oh, no, she says, forget the frying pan. She did the shotgun. Man. Jeez. I'm going to have to hide that. Change the key on the gun safe. Anyway, it wouldn't go well, right? It doesn't go well with our human relationship. How do we expect if we treat our relationship with God in the same way? Were we just like casual about it? Listen, you can't be casual with your relationships. Not here. You can't be casual with your human relationships, right? You have to be intentional. Listen, your walk with God is the most important relationship that you have. We have to be intentional to communicate with Him. We have to set time aside. It's going to cost us something. But listen, why wouldn't you want to be with the person, the God who made you, the God who knows you, the God who is sovereign over all things? Why wouldn't you want to receive and be in constant communication relationship with Him? Does that make sense? Bless you. And so what we see is that there is a natural tension, that Jesus was busy, just like you're busy, right? Everybody say, Pastor, I'm busy. Say it. And say this now, but Jesus is more busy. Amen? And He still made the time. So guess what? You don't have an excuse. Oh, but you don't understand. No, you don't. Like, isn't that immediately you're like, oh, but I'm really busy. I get it. But you're not God. Jesus was busy, amen? We have to make time. The crowds were following Him. People needed Him. People really needed Him, right? People were bringing demon-possessed people. You think they needed Jesus? Yeah, they did. Right? But He made time to go off to a quiet place to pray. And so we need to be intentional, just like Jesus was intentional, to get away from the crowds, get away from, listen, even the things that are good for my brothers and sisters that are in the ministry, that they're working, that they're leading Bible studies. And listen, that's good. The ministry takes your time up, but you still need your one-on-one time with God, or you're going to run out of gas. We cannot serve, right, when we're running on fumes. We can serve on the overflow of Jesus. Right, but if we don't go to the gas, and the gas is like, what, $15 a gallon now? I don't know what happened, man. I was like, man, I need to turn on the TV and see everything in flames by how much I'm paying the gas right now. But you guys get it, right? If you're running on fumes, you're not going to be able to serve. You can't do it on your own strength. It's only in your when you're connected with God, you do it in His strength. Amen? And so we need to make sure that we are in deep conversation with the Father, meditating, and we're contemplating in prayer. Now, this is going to require you to go to a quiet place and to be still. That means maybe put your phone away for sure. Turn off the TV, right? Go to a place where you can be intentional. Listen, have you ever tried to have a very serious conversation with somebody and that person is on their phone? Or the TV's on, they're watching TV. My wife's saying, amen, Pastor, amen. I'm guilty. I'll be honest with you. Whenever I preach too, I'm confessing too. It's like this is my confessional booth. I should put a little black curtain right here. Forgive me, guys, because I have sinned. No. You guys know what I'm talking about. But no, listen. We have to make sure that we are in a place where we are drawn away, where it's quiet, where we're not distracted. And that's your phone, that's the TV, that's other people. Because it's very difficult to have a meaningful conversation with all the distractions. And we are so distracted right now, isn't it? I mean, everywhere you look, it's like a distraction that pops up. He created a space to hear God. And here's the other thing too. You know, we talked about prayer. We also need to be in the Word and meditate and be quiet and wait for God to respond. How many of you guys are getting in the habit of when you pray, you just pray and then you go? Ever happened to you? I do it sometimes. I'm going to be honest with you. But that's the same thing as like when you have a conversation and you're pouring out your heart and you're doing these things. You're like, God, here's this. Show me, reveal to me, tell me, give me wisdom. And then you just say, okay, see you later, God. I'm out. I got to go to work. I got to drop off the kids. The second part of it is for you to be still and be quiet and wait for what? The whisper. You know what I'm talking about? That the Holy Spirit will start moving and responding. You're like, oh man, God, that's so good. That ever happened? But that doesn't happen if we just do our prayer and just throw up on God. God, you're so awesome. You're so good. God, you go through the whole Acts, or you do whatever it is, your acronym that you use for prayer. And then you just leave. If you did that to somebody that you love, you'd be like, man, I can't talk to this person. All they do is throw up on me and then leave. Before I can actually, what? Pour out into them. So your prayer life has to be baked in. You have to have quiet time alone with God. You got to pray and then you got to meditate and you got to wait. Oh man, that's hard, huh? Because we're always on the go. So that means you're going to have to carve out some more time. Because guess what? If you're in a relationship where you're the only one who's talking, and then the other person tries to talk and you talk over them, what does that feel like? You know people like that? Where they're just, we're like, can you just shut up for a little bit so I can get a word in? Amen? Oh no. The marriage sign-up sheet is in the back. That was a loud amen, brother. But no, we have to give God time. We have to listen. Listen. That's why God has given us two ears and one mouth. Listen. Listen to the voice of God. Meditate on His Word. This is the same way that we see Jesus doing. And so here's what we have to do. Listen, right? You have to withdraw to a place that's quiet. Now, if you're a morning person, then your quiet time with God needs to be in the morning. Yes? If you're a night owl, that means that you have to turn off, put your cell phone away, turn off the TV, and carve out to start 10 to 15 minutes. Start there. Does that make sense? Be intentional in your prayer time with God when you meet with Him. Let's continue on. Let's read Luke chapter 6, 12 through 14. Luke 6, 12 through 14. It says, while Jesus is in one of the towns, wait, am I in the right place? No, that's 5, sorry. I was about to read the wrong section. Luke 6:12. It says, one of those days, Jesus went to a mountainside to pray. Say it with me, to pray. And he spent the night, what did he do? Spent the night praying to God, the whole night. Amen? This is why I have to do my devotion in the morning. You know why? Because I'll fall asleep praying to God. I'm like the disciples. Like, you know, when Jesus is about to go to the cross and they're like, I just asked you to pray. And they're like, they were counting my snores, Jesus. I have to do my devotion in the morning. Now, some of you are not morning people, you have to do it at night. But Jesus says, again, went to the mountainside to pray. And then he spent the night praying to God. And when the morning came, he called the disciples to him. And he chose the 12 of them, who he also designated apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was also called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor. 12 people. Why did Jesus do that? You think that he just said, like, well, it was kind of a big deal, right? The people that he was going to pour into, that we're going to be the people in charge of, I don't know if you know this, changing the whole world, right? By sharing the gospel and the good news of who he is. That's a big decision, yes or no? And so when he had a big decision, what did he do? He went off and he prayed. Now sometimes don't we make a mess of things? Sometimes we have a big decision to make and you're like, well, I think I should do this. And maybe I should, sometimes we need to say, is like, who cares what you think? Did you ask God first? Right? It's a big decision. Go pray about it. Meditate. Be quiet. Shh. Listen to God before you make a big decision. Number two, prayer strengthens us for what is ahead. Prayer strengthens us for what is ahead. And Jesus, what we see him modeling in Luke in this particular chapter, is he has a big decision to make. He's praying about the disciples as he calls them. See, Jesus prayed, listen, he was getting ready, he's praying. When he knew he was going to go and do all kinds of different ministry work, he prayed what? In the morning, you see him oftentimes, in a quiet place, before the battle, before the challenge. Does that make sense? Now we can begin the habit of doing what? Are we praying before the storm, usually? When do we pray the hardest? Right in the middle of the storm, right? Right in the middle of the storm is when everybody remembers that they have a God when they're in prison or in jail or in the hospital, right? But we need to be praying before the battle. And guess what? My brother said we're in a spiritual warfare, right? So we need to be praying every single day. And by the way, I think my brother Henry has a message in him, right? You guys saw that? Amen. Amen. But we are in a spiritual battle, so we need to be praying up. We need to be prayed up before we get to work. Amen? Before we go off and encounter the world, because the enemy wants to take us down, right? He's looking for whoever he can. His whole plan is what? To steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus prayed before the battle, not after. You know, it's like the equivalent of like if you're going to run a marathon. How many of you guys have ever ran a marathon? Nobody? How many of you guys thought about running a marathon? I've thought about it too. But I don't know. My body is not, this body's not made for running. You know, I mean, it's made for like typing. I can do some good emails, guys, I'm telling you. But this body's not made for running. True story, yesterday, how many of you guys have you guys ever mowed like a really big lawn? Like just with a lawnmower. Yesterday, you know, I woke up early, and I was like, I gotta mow the two empty lots next to our house. It's like 2 acres, guys. So, this is true story. Tiffany knows what's happening. About 2 o'clock, she sends Giselle sent a text message. I was so tired, guys. I was like, man, I was like, I wish somebody from the church would show up right now and help me. No, I didn't say that. That didn't happen. But I was literally like, I was so tired. I went to the house. I went inside. I was like, something's wrong with me. Like, I feel hot. Like, my face is all red. The neighbor's all, hey, your face is really red, brother. And I said, I'm just, you know, it's because of the sun. I was lying. I was like, really? I got into the house and I just collapsed on the floor. And I laid there for like 30 minutes. I think I was heat exhausted. It's a true story, right? Where am I going with this? I totally lost my train of thought. I don't know. What tied in? Running the marathon, right? Training. I was not trained up to mow 2 acres of grass, okay? I had not trained. I should have started with our front yard. Huh? That's looking like it's a foreclosed house there too. I got it. But you know, when you're like, oh no, I got to do it. I'm like my willpower, you know, I'm not going to quit. I probably would have passed out in the grass and died right there, but then somebody started texting me, and I was like, hey, I was not even making any sense. True story. I finished, though. Amen? Yeah, I finished. That was good. And so anyway, I'm not trained up. My wife's like, keep going. Move, move, move. Okay, move, move, move. Sorry. But we need to get ready before the battle. Do get ready in prayer. Meditate for God. God is going to, listen, the storms are going to come, guys. So you got to ask yourself right now, right? You got any important family decisions to make here in the soon? Anybody? How about career stuff that's happening? How about ministry opportunities? How about any in the middle of a spiritual battle, right? You better be praying. You better be asking God to give you some wisdom, yes? And lastly, let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We're going to be in verse 39 through 44. Luke 22, 39 through 44. And it says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And on reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Read that with me. Say it again. Pray that you will not fall into temptation. Man, if there isn't just, that would be enough. Yes, amen? But Jesus says, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. Right? So literally, as far as you can throw a rock. Now, I don't have a good arm. Maybe like 50 yards. No. I can't. Right there. I have a weak arm, guys. This body was made for emails, I'm telling you. But maybe you guys could throw a stone really far. That's where he was praying. Not that far away. You could probably yell and say, Jesus! And he would have heard him. Anyway, a stone's throw away, right? And he knelt down and prayed. In verse 42, and this is the key, it says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will be done, but yours be done. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed even more earnestly. And he sweat what was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Amen. Listen, Jesus was in the middle of when you understand that type of anguish, that type of situation, that type of pain that he was in, he said, tells him he's going to pray, and he himself went to go pray. But here's what he prayed for more than anything. He says, not my will be done, but what? Your will be done. And listen, some of us in here, we keep praying for our will to be done, don't we? We keep praying that God answer this prayer, God do this thing, God bring the healing, God this, and that's our will. Yeah? And what we need to be praying for is, if it's your will, God, if it's your will, then let it be done. Even if it's not the way that I want it to end. Listen, a lot of us in here, we pray in earnest that God will restore the relationship, that God will bring the healing, that He'll heal the cancer, that He will. And sometimes God says, no, it's not His will. That makes sense? But God is awesome and good. And this is when we have to trust God. Because listen, it's good to trust when you know the outcome, when it's going to go your favor. Isn't that great? I love those relationships. But what about when the answer is no? Then we have to trust God's will. And we have to trust and know that God is good. And the other 2,000 promises that are for me and for you in the Bible. Does that make sense? That you are loved, that you are special, that you are His special possession. Does that make sense? Because there's going to come times where God's answer is no. And God loves you so much anyway. See, I'm an okay father. I think I'm a pretty good father. Right? Sometimes I'm silly. Thank you. I put her on the spot. She better say, I'm okay. I'm decent, right? I'm not God. I'm flawed. Sometimes I get it wrong. But I try my best. That makes sense? God is perfect. We are not. We try to do good things. And if she asks me for something, most of the time I'm going to say yes. But there is sometimes when I have to say, I'm sorry, babe. No. And it's not because I don't love you. It's because I want, you know, when you ever say that scripture when it says God is jealous for you, He wants better things, right? And so when I have to say no, I say no. Because I want better things for you, right? I don't do it because I don't like her. Man, I love her. I will give my life. I mean that. Every dad in here knows what when he says, man, if it was a choice between you and your kid, you're like, take me today, yeah? So we love like that. Know that your Father in heaven loves you like that too. And so if you pray that prayer and you're praying that in earnest and the answer is no, here's my thing. Hold on to the other promises of God. He's not done. Pray for His will to be done. Not my will. Because sometimes I prayed for things, and if God answered those things, I think, thank you that He did it. That makes sense? Right? God is good and sovereign over all things. So what we're looking for, right, number three, is when in our time of prayer that we align our will with God's will. That we align, right, our will with God's will. And this is what we see exactly in the Garden of Gethsemane. That Jesus even asked, He says, listen, if you'll let this cup pass, but not my will, your will be done. Still in anguish, He prayed even harder, so much so that He started to sweat drops of blood. So here's the thing, right? How do we apply it? Quiet time with God, 10 to 15 minutes. Pray and listen. Ask Him right? Align your heart with God's heart. Align your will with God's will. And that might be as simple as saying, Lord, align my heart with yours. What do you want to do in this situation? And that your will would be done. And so as we get into the next 3 weeks, we're getting into the season of Easter. This is really important, guys. We need to be praying. We need to spend at least 10 to 15 minutes in prayer. Because you might have to, like I said, you might have a real busy life right now. All kinds of things happen in your life. But here's the thing. Is what we're doing right now, you think that what you're doing now, is it bringing it to a better place? Is it filling you with peace and hope and joy? And if the answer is no, then we need to start praying more. Right? In Matthew chapter 11, 20-30, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen? I don't know about you guys, but some of you, who needs some rest for their soul? Amen? Jesus is inviting you to say, hey, come to me, right? He's the person you're looking for. Come to me if you're worried, if you're burdened. I will give you rest. My yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Amen? That's the invitation that Jesus gives. He came to give his life on the cross that you might be known by the Father, that you might have a relationship with God. And God is enough. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for giving us just another reminder, Lord God, of what it means to be in prayer. And sometimes when we talk about our prayer life, we feel like we are missing something, like we're lacking. You just want to talk to us. You want to hear authentic prayer. You don't want it to sound fancy. We're not here to impress anybody, Lord God. You are God. You are the creator of the universe. What are we going to impress with our words? But you want to talk to us. And so we need to come to you humbly in prayer. Humbly, Lord God, in meditation, and to be still, and to seek your will in our life. So Father God, if we've been neglecting this, Lord, forgive us. We need to be intentional. We need to be connected to you, Lord God. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So help us to be connected to you, Lord God, through the power of prayer, to listen and to meditate. And that you're inviting us, Lord God, if our souls are tired and uneasy, Lord God, and burdened, you tell us to come. We can find rest in you. Lord Jesus, thank you again, Lord, for the example, the role model, the way that you model, Lord God, prayer, that you are God, Lord, and you still needed to be in prayer. You needed to be in meditation. We need to do that too. So, Lord God, help us to pray. Help us to contemplate on your word. Help us to meditate. Help us to drown out the distractions, Lord, to set aside the time that is needed for the most important relationship we have in our life. And that's a relationship with you, Lord God. Thank you again for your kindness and your mercy, Lord. Thank you that you are waiting, Lord God, that you are a good God. And listen, I can't wrap my brain around that you are the creator of the universe and you want to talk to a broken person like me. You delight in relationship, Lord God. You're not looking for perfection. You're looking for authentic worshipers, Lord God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. So help us to be intentional to answer that call. Father God, forgive us, Lord God, for our sins, for the sins that we commit, Lord God, for our sins of disobedience as well, and draw us near to you, Lord God. Strengthen us, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, when we're tired, to just cast that aside, to be intentional. We are at our best because you deserve our best. You do. And when we're connected in relationship with you, what can be better, Lord God? Everything else is blessed when we're right with you, Lord God. That's my prayer this morning. Lord, just thank you again for your goodness and your kindness. Lord God, help us to set that time aside that we need, Lord, to invest in our relationship with you. Lord, watch over our families, Lord God. Watch over our homes. Watch over our children, Lord God. Lord, we are in a spiritual battle. Lord, we claim victory in your name. Lord, we are protected by your blood, Lord God. Everything is, our sins are forgiven, Lord God, by your blood on the cross, Lord God. But we don't take that for granted. Lord, we come in humility, Lord God. worship you, to thank you every single day, Lord, for your goodness, Lord. For you to watch over us, guide us, and keep us, Lord God, over these next 3 weeks as we look forward to Easter, Lord God, and the resurrection, what you've done for us, Lord God, on the cross. Continue to work in our lives, Lord God, and if there's something that is entangling us, Lord God, if there's some kind of sin that we need to confess, we confess it to you today, Lord God. We need to surrender it at the cross. Thank you for your daily provision, Lord God. Lord, continue to bless our man, bless our families, our children again, Lord God. And I just look forward to the work that you have for each one of us, Lord, as we continue to here at our church, just take a step forward, Lord, to know you more, to make you known, and to continue to build your kingdom, Lord God, so that you can get all the honor and all the glory. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.